hold to his hand, to God's unchanging hand. Blessed be thy wonderful name, Heavenly Father. Bless the Lord. Bless the Jesus, wonderful Lord. We thank you for thy grace this morning, Lord, as we approach thee. We thank you, Lord, for this time. For every one of us to assemble ourselves together, Lord, in this manner. To honor thy resurrection, Lord. To remember you, Lord, and honor thy great name. For thou art the resurrection and the life. We are gathered, Father, Lord, in this heavenly places right now, sitting under thy feet. It is because, Lord, you have granted us in Christ Jesus such a position, Lord, to be here. And we thank you, Lord, Father, both, that thou receive, Lord, our praise and our blessing upon thy holy name, Lord. We thank you, truly, that thou worth your praise for what you have done for us, Lord. And let our heart always rejoice, Father. Even as we come together this time, Lord, to know a little of thy word, and a little understanding, Father, of the time that we live in. And what men or men that we really are, Lord, as people that thou have so called us out of this world, and to this light, and to receive this present day truth, Father, in the hour that we live in. Oh, we thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord. We bless thy holy name. So now enlighten us, Holy Father above, that your presence, Lord, be here and teach us all things now. We ask for that in Jesus Christ's wonderful name.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 11. Many times things that were said very familiar to many of us. But there is never a time that any true child of God can say, I have read enough of the scripture. The children can read what have taken the world by storm the last couple of years. Harry Potter's, whatever else, I don't know, a lot of the rings, and, of course, Spider-Man's a comic. And so everybody says, I have read the book many times, Harry Potter, Prisoner, Kazam, or whatever that is. I've read many times, and Lord of the Rings, what, Two Towers, and I've read it many, many times, and now it's enough for me. But you know, you can read the Bible many, many times and you cannot say it's enough for you.
Hallelujah.
Because things got unfold each and every time is different. Harry Potter and his cronies up there and all those books, there, it's a fixed thing. But the Bible had hidden mysteries. Is that right? That every so often when you read it, the Lord can take a mind into certain things, into certain dimensions, certain spiritual realm, and recall for you certain things in your life, and also what the Lord can do for you, and your relationship with Him, your relationship with one another, and what man or man we are on this earth, and what man or woman we are on this earth. So when we read the Bible, oh, you can never ever say that I have enough of reading the Bible. Revelation 3:11 says, Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And we all believe this to be true, that we are living in this end time, so precious to us. We are not living in the days of Martin Luther, John Wesley, or any part of the age of the reformers, Reformation. And I often believe that this period of time is more precious, more thrilling than the period of the time of the apostles in the early church. In the early church, you can see all the things that are happening as the church began to grow, build up. But we realize that Paul said that certain event must come to pass before Christ comes. So when you live at that time, when you hear what Paul said, then you know, oh, you're not going to see it. You're going to see the grave anyway. You're going to grow old and you die, you're going to see the grave. But here we are living in a time that we know many of us will never see the grave. Many of us will not see the grave. We are going to see Christ coming and meet him in the air. And this is what we are looking for. You see? And so this is very precious to us. And so this verse here, John being the last apostle, received this. Behold, I come quickly, hold that fire which thou hast, no man take thy crown. Now we have more truth or revelation revealed to us in this generation than any other generation before us. We have the fullness of the word now being opened to us a little at a time more and more now. And we know more than those other ages. We know more today than 10 years ago, more today than 20 years ago. And you know, if we don't progress and move on with God, then we will become like a denomination. You see, the Baptists will continue with their, all the Baptist traditions, the Wesleyan with their Wesleyan traditions, and so forth. The Pentecostal with their own charismatic with what they have in tongues and gifts and so forth. But we have more than just all these things. We have the revelation of the Son of Man, the Son of God being made known to us in this hour. To know the ministry that Jesus once manifest on earth almost 2,000 years ago. That ministry came back in this generation and we saw it. And when we begin to see this thing, we can see that the Lord himself is wanting to reveal himself to a people in reality, that there is a special experience and a relationship with him. Not just something that like a religion, people go to church. You know, I can tell you one thing. A lot of people go to church and believe being, become a Christian for many different reasons. Like in the newspaper, you know, the report about, I think, this two air crash and the daughter of this family who got an award, or what do you call, Watson, $1 million, and said that, oh, my daughter is a Christian now and we want to be Christian so that we can be in heaven with her. Now, a lot of people, if that is because of the daughter being a Christian, and you want to be in heaven and also become a Christian, that is not a born-again experience, you know. Huh? My father is a Christian, so I want to be a Christian. You understand? Well, that's true, isn't it? Like Christabel's experience, huh? You can go to a class where you have all Christian people, Protestant, Catholic, Charismatic, and men I don't know next to nothing. Isn't it? Many of them will know next to nothing about the Bible. They don't even know where Jesus was born. Bethlehem or where. They know nothing. You see? That's you know why today's generation of people, either you have a lot of knowledge of the things of the world, about Harry Potter, what Harry Potter did with his magic of whatever magic he has, or Spider-Man, or a lot of the rings, whatever, they can know who's who and what's what. Right? And a lot of Christian young people that go to church, you ask them, where was Jesus born? They don't know. Do you realize that a lot of people know more about other characters in their books or comics that they read and take out with all these things in the world, but they know nothing about Jesus Christ. And if you love someone, you want to know something about that someone. Amen. That's why the disciples, when they first met Christ, they asked Jesus, where do you live? Where do you dwell? Jesus said, come and see. And they followed Jesus for 3.5 years. Then they realized where Jesus dwelt. Not that he dwelt in the house of his father, the carpenter. You see? So when we talk about, yeah, do you know Jesus? Yeah, we know him as Jesus. We know him as he's a savior and all these things. But you don't really know who really he is really to you. Not just a religious figure. Someone we worship in church. Oh, my father worship, my daughter worship, so I follow along. It's not that. You will have to have an experience. You must be born again. Nicodemus. Huh? Oh, Nicodemus knows all about the Bible, described in the Bible, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Daniel, Moses, and all these things, all the law. But you've got to have an experience. And here we live in the last day, there is an experience. Is that alright? Let's go to Romans chapter 4. A lot of verses to read because I want to bring out certain things. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I make thee a father of many nations. That's talking about Abraham. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being no weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus Christ, our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You know, I like the portion of this particular portion. I believe every one of us has certain favorite portions of Scripture. Right? Isn't it? If I ask you, do you love every word in the Bible? You say, yes, I think that's a lie. Because there are certain words that when you read it, it doesn't sound good to us. But every word of God, Bible, yes, we know the Bible is the word of the Lord, the word of God is written for us. But there are certain points in the Scripture that has a certain attraction. A certain thing that we just look at it, we embrace it because of its value. The way that it brings to us in our relationship with God. Here Paul was talking about Abraham. You know, my message this morning is the mystery of His purpose. The mystery of God's purpose. When we read this about Abraham, I think he is one character that we cannot ignore. Because it is through this man that we have a relationship with God. Abraham is the father of our faith. His faith is passed down to us. We must have, therefore, the same faith as Abraham. Abraham looked forward, we look backward. He looked forward to the cross, we look backward to the cross. And there, you see, the same faith is united there. So you know where Paul said, Abraham, believe God. Because, yes, one thing Paul said, that God called those things which be not as though they were. God called those things that be not as though they were. You know, Abraham is old. He was old. He was already 75. No children. No child. Not even one. Sarah, 65. God already, they were, I don't know how long they were married. Okay? By the time they were 75 and 65, still not even a child. In those days, if you don't have a child, people look down on you, so to speak. That means they say that you have a curse on you. You don't have prosperity. You don't have a seat forever. Your name will never go down in history. So that's why always the context of the human race is such that we always want to continue the production of our seed. Is it the lie of such and such a lie all the way down? You see. And Abraham, of course, Sarah, being in that age, God promised him a child. And Abraham hold fast. He did not disbelieve God because it was an experience for him. Being called of God directly. I believe the same thing every one of us here this morning, we can say that God called us directly. If you are ever a child of God, He'll call you directly.
The Bible says, no man seek after God. God seek after man.
Truly, you know.
There is emptiness in our heart. We may long to have something fill our heart. And when God sees the vacuum in you and your desire, He comes searching for you. We do not know where who the true God is. We live in a world where we have all kinds of religion. So what then is God? Over in the ancient Roman Empire, when Paul was there, and all these Greeks and all these Greek people, and all the Romans and whatever other races of people out there, cosmopolitan, there's so many idols out there, temples out there, people worship all kinds of gods and goddesses. And this Amasil, Paul found an inscription to the unknown God, to the unknown God. It's quite humorous, isn't it? There are people in this world today, I can tell you one thing, they mix all religion in their life. They say, if one of them is not, if all of them is wrong, one must be at least right. So I worship all these different religions, at least. If 99% is wrong, 1% must be right, so that one I can go to heaven. At least I have a ticket. Yes, Kiasu, Kiasi spirit. Book your flight on all the planes in Singapore, and the last minute then get one. You know, that sort of thing. That's what many people do. You know. But that's not the way it is. Abraham too was a pagan. And living in the land of Mesopotamia, they worship all kinds of idol wood, of stones, and they worship the sun and all the planets too. You see. And of course there was something in his heart. And I believe he was just like King David too. Perhaps in the evening time go out there in the field. Look at the start of the creation and think about this God of creation. And when God looked down, God called him by name. And that's when Abraham had experience with God. And all this time when he was walking, when God called him down to Canaan land and he was walking with God in heaven every day and a day-to-day experience with God, he grew in grace. When God promised him a son at age 75, do you think he gave it to him directly? No, God always tells him. God always tells us too. Huh? You understand, isn't it? Sometime when a person became a Christian, the first time, the first few weeks maybe, God gave her or him a blessing. Wow! You know what I mean? Not a few months, yeah, got another blessing, special. And you know, a special blessing, real. But you know, God is not going to do that all the time. He was going to stop blessing you for a while in the way that he expected it, but then he'd give you a trial. Huh? Isn't it? Look at what Abraham had. He waited nothing but a trial. From 75 years to 100 years old before he got a child. Wow, he was waiting for so long. And this time when as he waited for that, he was hoping. This time he went to his wife. Hoping that, that she can conceive. Because he was only 65 at those times, in those days, she could live past 100 years old. 120, 140 in those days. So 65, she has not menopause yet. She hadn't menopause yet. You understand? So Abraham was hoping against all hope. One year passed, and Sarah is getting older and older. The skin gets drier and drier. Wrinkles start forming. Hair start turning white. How isn't it?
Sure.
Wow, Abraham waited and waited and waited. So one day when he found that the wife dried up. You know what I mean? Menopause came in. See, no more her menses, no more period, no more woman period. Abraham getting older and older, getting a bit tired. Says, well, for so many years now, I've tried. Don't say I didn't try. God promised I have a son, I tried. I eat all the bread essence of chicken maybe or something like that, all the beef tendons and all, to make me try to conceive. And Sarah too doing a lot of herbs and all this traditional thing to boost up the vitality to get a child, to get the womb to be strengthened. But, well, we did our best. But you know, Abraham, he didn't consider all these things. He know God, when God promised it, he will keep it. Even though when the womb is dead, well, as the Bible said here, in verse 19, be not weak in faith. Now, imagine now, for 5 years, 75, 85, maybe by 90 years or 95. Sarah already 20 years later, 75, 85, his menopause started, finished. Well, Abraham did not give up. So what's wrong with the dead womb? Not weak in the faith. The Bible says, not will he consider not his own body. Now, they didn't. He doesn't consider well his body. Oh, dried up now, old man. You know what I mean? Like today we have a lot of problems in Singapore. Old men are getting, because of stress of life. Young men, 40 years old, important. They cannot get a child. A woman all stressed out working out there in the office. And just refuse, the egg just refused to be strong enough to hold a conception, to stick to the wall of the uterus. And the men, because they're stressed out, all those sperm cells just refused to connect with the egg. So all dried up. Now, Abraham, it's already old. Sarah's dead, there's no more egg. No more egg. There's no more pain, no more menses, no more period. So everything's dry up, okay, it's finished. But Abraham never considered those things. It was a wicked of it. He knew, no matter what it is, dead or not, God is the God of the living. Therefore he says, concern not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. For years after that, when he tried, when the body begins to go into that stage of not able to produce anymore, the womb is dead, maybe 85 years old, when Sarah was 85, probably she had her period, or 90 or 95, whatever it is. But until that time that she reached, when Abraham reached 99 years old, when the promise was again renewed to him, when God confirmed it with the covenant, all those time back, Abraham still believed. God promised it, God will keep his own word. You know that, don't you? That's right. There are two immutable things that God cannot lie. Why? Because one, he swear by himself. And because he make an oath, he keep it. That's one thing about the Lord. So Abraham believed it. So Abraham held on to that thing. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God. Now, we are living in this time now. Okay? We are living in this time with all this mess, this privilege of having this fullness of God's word restored to us. We can see back all those years what happened and all those doctrines that were forced, how it came into the churches, how it came into organization. Now we begin to see, if we were not in this message, if we do not recognize what God is doing today, we will not. If you go to any church's denomination, we will not recognize what God is doing. We will not know what was the purpose of God. We can be a Lutheran, we can be a Baptist, we can be a Methodist, or we can be a Presbyterian, or any denomination. And we just think that, wow, that's what God is. God has created many denominations. Like many Christians believe that denomination was God's will. No, it was not God's will. You understand that? And people think that it's okay, any denominational churches you can go to. As long as you are born again. But yet you know one thing, what is born again? In America, the president, everyone said they are born again president. Huh? Sometimes I read in the paper, I watch the media, you know, all this group, the president and his cabinet people, or what they call those senators and all these things. Then the people report, they go to the church, born again church, born again Episcopalian, born again Presbyterian, born. Gee. You are born again child of God. You are not a born again Baptist. You are not born again Methodist. We are born again children of the living God. We are not born into a denomination. So we are so privileged to look back. So if we have looked back all this thing now, what about our faith? Do you think that our faith ought to be of a higher degree, far higher than what those denominations have? We ought to. But yet, look at us. Look at us, Bob Emerson. Look at all of us. We don't even have faith enough to be here. much more talk about having faith to be raptured. Isn't it? Huh? But what is the purpose of now? When Brother Abraham is gone, during the time when Brother Abraham was around, God has used that one man to bring about such great ministry, to reveal the ministry of the Son of Man, okay, to show who Christ was and is to the believer, isn't it? With all those, the sound of Messiah, everybody got thrilled. Wow! Everyone to read the secrets of man's heart. Everyone to look at a woman and tell you her name, where you live, and so forth. Wow, the same sign that the disciples saw when Jesus was on the earth. But after the prophet's gone, now, from that time until now, it seems that, wow, the church, what happened to all those miracles? What happened to all those great miracles? People expected more of it. People expected more of it than what Brother Abraham had. But how much do we see? How much of that miracles and wonders do we see? Well, we may see collectively around the world, if we got to collect all the miracles and healing, it's probably more than what Brother Abraham had. But you don't see individually in many ministers. It seems that the Lord allowed this period between the passing away of the prophet and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fulfillment of picking us into the rapture to meet Him in the air. Look at Abraham. Abraham, well, when God promised it, he was all excited. Probably had the revival, telling everybody that God promised him a son. He told his wife, God promised me a son. Well, Sarah may get excited a bit. Is that so, old man? Huh? And when they began to travel one day after another, what happened? There was no sign that they're going to get a child. 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years down the road. Sarah says, oh, I don't know what kind of God you have. He promised you and now it's 20 years and still not having a child. I'm already getting old. I'm already menopause. I'm finished. I'm dried up. Abraham, he hold on to the faith. Similarly, there is no sign of he going to be a father of many nations. Not about being a father of many nations, being a father enough. There was no sign that he's going to get a child. After all, now his wife is already dried up. But you see, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But being strong in the faith, he gave glory to God. Now, can we be strong in this time, in this period of time? When I look back in 1982, when I first touched on this message, I said this pretty strongly on the tape, in the message. I said this, and I told the church, I said, watch it even if it's not true. God is going to tear everybody apart. God is going to put such a strong trial and temptation upon every one of us and to see whether you're going to hold to the faith. So we have passed through all these years now. 22 years. And those in 1982, many of us were no longer with us. Many of them probably have laughed and gone to the world. Many of them probably have left the faith. That's why I say this. If Christ does not come in the next 10, 20 years, will you be able to still be holding on to this faith? And still believe that He's going to take a people to meet Him in the air? Do you still believe in the blessed hope of His coming? Do you still believe that He will come? In ages past, many people give up the faith. Why? Christ didn't come. I've been waiting for Him 50 years. He didn't come. Are you gonna hold on to the faith? We don't even have faith not to be healed. So does that take away the promise of God? That He's going to have a people? Huh? Abraham, 5 years, 10 years, still not even have a sign of conception, and the wife not even getting pregnant at all. Now the wife is dried up. Does it take the promise of God away? Abraham believed all things are possible with God. Dead or not, he's the God of the living. That woman or not, he's going to make it alive. He's going to renew it. He's going to revive it. We are going through crisis. We are going to trial and tribulation. Sometimes we feel that, well, we feel that we are finished. We are dead. Naomi feel that she was so afflicted. She said, don't call me any more pleasant. Her name Naomi means pleasant. Call me Mara. Call me bitterness. Because God has afflicted me. Took away my house, but took away my son. There's no more seed in their line. See that? But do you think God won't give her a blessing? Sometimes you feel that you are down and out. Don't give up. Hold on. That's the important thing, is to hold on to the faith. That's why Abraham, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's good. That's what I believe. He was able to perform it. Huh? I believe what God promised. Sometimes things, the horizon looks dark. To us all, in our view. But God has a purpose. God looks to the future. God always looks at the end result. Huh? When we have raised the starting point, the start up from the block is not the important thing at all. Yes, in today's race, the study how you start off is important. How you kick off from the block is important. You see. But a good athlete, even though he didn't start off well on the block, doesn't give up. If his eyes focus on the end, you see. In the race, they try to beat the gun. So there is a saying, instead of gun going off, then they take off, is they go off at the same time. It's all trying to beat the gun. Now we don't have to beat the gun. God already consider the end from the beginning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us go to 1 John now. First John chapter 2. In this age, more faith is needed than in the ages past. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passed away, and the just thereof, and the lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. You know, there must be a separation from the things of the world, from the lust of the world, from the pride of life, you know, and the pride of, the lust of the flesh as a lust of the eye and the pride of life. We must put away from this. Huh? What the Bible said is true. When the world comes towards a close, and the age of mankind comes towards a close, the sins of the world become more abound. In fact, sins increases abundantly. And the greed of man, whether it's through the eyes or through the touch or just the pride itself, created more sins every passing day. The reason Euro 2004, football, You just imagine how much money changes hands to betting. It was reported in the paper about Malaysia, so many millions of dollars earned by those syndicate, illegal. And those who lost the money turned to become a robber. They turned robbers to pay the debt. And sin just multiplying, multiplying, multiplying. And if we don't separate, God has to separate the people that is going to take this sensual man. As Paul said, the old man must die. Huh? The old man must die. We are born into this world. You are born into sin, in this world in sin. In my mother's womb, am I conceived in sin, as King David said. I was born in this world, wicked. You don't have to tell a child to lie. Automatically, as you grow up, you learn to lie. Turn to hide things. Getting angry. You see. Temper tantrum throwing and things like that. And when we grow older, adults begin to become more capable of deception, of deceiving others. Because we are born in wickedness. But you know what? Yeah, we are children of the living God. God has given us a spirit, His spirit. He has given us His life. The virtue of Jesus Christ in us. Yes, we may fail. We may make a mistake, so to say. Get a little upset, throw a little temper tantrum, a little angry with a certain brother or sisters or whatever. Or tell a lie, a white lie, whatever lie. At a moment when we are caught and then we just can do all those things. You know what? When we do this, the Spirit convicts us, don't we? Doesn't it? You know you're wrong. You say, but a hardcore criminal, he doesn't believe that it's wrong. Doesn't he believe it's wrong to take somebody's thing, to steal it, to rob him, to tell a lie, and so forth? Every time I read the newspaper about a certain case being taken to court and trial for what they call for what we call a murder or abusing somebody or whatever it is, and then the person, this person who is being prosecuted, in the paper they say plead or a moment of confusion, moment of insanity, all these things. These are all lawyer talk. The lawyer tells her to plead for this. It's always the lawyer, isn't it, brother? So they can get away like the sentence and all these things, you know. I abused my mate because I'm confused. Plead confusion. I don't know. Maybe I've eaten some things that stimulate my mind to this stage. Your Honor, please forgive me. You think that is true? 99.9% of the time, all these are all bugging. Just tell the judge, I'm abuser. But nobody wants to say that, you see. Because the judge is going to send you a heavier sentence. But lying a little bit, you get a lower sentence. That's what people do. But you see, because we are Christian, because we are children of God, the Holy Spirit convicts us. Sometimes you get angry, you open your mouth and get angry with somebody, and you know the moment you are being restrained by the Spirit, isn't it? The Spirit will constrain us. That's true. And I don't know about Abraham too, but he's a man, he's a warrior. He will fight for justice. But the Bible doesn't record too much about the man, except about his faith. And I believe the same thing. God is not going to look at your fault. He's going to look at your faith. You understand? Hope to God. How can we make the same mistake? I get angry very easily. I quarrel with my boyfriend, I quarrel with my girlfriend. I quarrel with my mother, I quarrel with my daddy. I got so angry with my children. I almost raised my hand and wet his head. I still remember those days when I was, before I was Christian. Sometimes I think about it, you know, it brings back very sad memory. And it was my brother Christopher. I always still remember the aquarium of fishes. When I came home, what happened to the aquarium? There was no fish in there. And my mom would just, wow, realize that I'm going to get real upset. And found that Christopher was taking all those fish, playing masa masa, you know. Those guppies and those neon tetra, take them off and those little, you know, those tuna play, those plates and knives and pots and pans, he literally cut those fish. When I found out, I was so furious, I swept him from one corner of the room, he went flying to the other corner of the room. But I wasn't a Christian yet. I think maybe I was just around 10 or 11 and he was, well, I don't know. You know, a man without a spirit to control him. A man, now, every one of us, remember one thing, there are three spirits in the world. I always mention this. Your spirit, because God has given you a spirit to live. The spirit of the world, that's a demon that's going around, that's trying to control you, influence you. Then there's the spirit of God. Huh? So if you are in a world, if you are without God, without Christ, you have your own spirit, your own motion. It's up to you to control it. Isn't it? So there are a lot of people who don't believe in God, they can control their spirit. They are good, charitable men, very nice, very kind. See? Now, that's the kind of man, the devil said, don't worry about him. He's doomed. Because why? He's so self-righteous, he thinks that I'm such a good man. Philanthropies and all this, I live a good life. I don't have to believe in God. Because after all, when I die, that's it, my name goes down in history. Philanthropist Tan Alien. Or whatever, philanthropist Raymond. Whatever, you know, people remember those names. You understand? But then there is one who let the spirit influence their mind. Get very, very little bit, get a little irritated. Have you ever gone to a hookah center or go to a food store and buy for the man who is cooking your food? And you say, I don't want this and I don't want that. You know, the grunt, the big noise. Huh? And then sometimes they're so irritated, they will tell you off. There are many cases like that. You see? And you meet somebody on the road and you've got a car, a little bit of an incident, and the driver get all upset. You know what I mean? Road rage, they call it, right? And it could kill the person. The spirit in this world is driving people to do things. But you see, when we are a child of God, if we are truly born again, and we receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, then automatically, our senses is no longer ours to be controlled. But the way we want to do things, our own, it will contradict the Word of God. Isn't it? Anytime we do anything, the contrary, automatically, the Spirit of God restrain you and told you, that's wrong. And if you have done it at a moment, and you know you really have been wrong, and you have to confess. It says, Lord, I'm sorry. You understand that? And don't say, oh, I cannot make any mistakes. Forget about living the life of a Christian. What's the use? Give up the faith. And yeah, I can tell you one thing. There are many out there in charismatic churches. There are many young men, maybe middle-aged men, 30 years old, or late 20s, in the 40s. They can be in services for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years. By the time they reach 60-something, you know what? Many of them will give up the faith. Because what to them is just a religion. He said, what faith do you belong to? I belong to the Christian faith. What faith do you belong to? I belong to the Buddhist faith. Brother and sister, you know what faith you're talking about? I'm not talking about your Christian faith or your Buddhist faith. I'm talking about, do you have the faith of Abraham? That's the difference. You know that? It's the faith of Abraham. Do you have the faith that God promised? Not in a religious thing. Between God and me is not a religion. You understand? Between God and me, it's a walk. W-A-L-K. It's a walk. A trust. I'm not going to church. I'm not coming to church for a religious Christian faith. You understand? So in the world today, they talk like, what faith do you belong to? What faith do you hold? If you ever go and somebody asks you for interview, whatever it is, you know, they ask you, what faith do you belong to? He says, I belong to the faith of Abraham. Ah! They say, what? Say that again. They wouldn't understand that, would you? Would they? You see. And there was some when one time when I was overseas, I can't remember where I met certain person. The person, then we were talking, so the man said, it looks like you are a Christian, a preacher. I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. Are you born again? He asked the first question. Hey, but are you a born again Christian? You know, he's asking this. You know what I mean? I said, yeah. I said, I am too. I'm a born again Christian. You see. So you know, he wanted to try to differentiate between a Christian and a born again Christian. Of course, there are Christian, many Christians, they are not born again. That's the reason why you need to be born again. Remember the song I dreamed that I had died and gone to heaven. And there was this angel standing outside again, you know. The man wanted to enter in. The angel said, are you born again? Have you been born again? And the poor guy says, what's that? What's that? Born again, I've been a Christian, I go to church, I pray, I go to church on Sunday, and I won many awards. But the question is, are you born again? Are you sanctified? Are you Holy Ghost baptized? So God is looking at our faith. Remember this. Always remember this. God is looking at our faith. Like Abraham, let us not consider all these fleshy things in our body. We can make mistakes, but let us remember this one thing. What John said here. Let's go back to it again. 1 John 2, 5, 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of God is not in him. Now, when he said love, doesn't mean that you cannot, turn on the radio on and listen to some classical or pop music that you just like to listen to for a while. It doesn't mean that you cannot read Harry Potter's book. Doesn't mean that you cannot read the Spider-Man comic. Huh? Or that you cannot watch the Euro football, you know, and go, yeah, hey, yeah, go! And shove your head off. It doesn't mean that it is not. But love, not the world means, when you love the world is when you get so much involved in those things, that God's love is not in you. That's what the devil is trying to take you slowly away from the love of God. By getting you to love the world more and more. You know that? So you think about how important that really is. How the spirit of the world can involve and bring you around. For all that is in the world. For all that is in the world, when you get involved in the lust of the flesh is there, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is there, it's not the Father but it's of the world. You see, a lot of people don't think it is a danger. You know, there's so much of these lottery things going around the world. Even illegal betting on the internet. And I saw in the paper the man who bet and if he can win, Greece to, I mean, Portugal to win in the final against Greece, he would have got something like 800 something thousands of dollars. 7-to-1 chance. And if he won, he would have won at that amount. But it's a little bit better. And several were caught by the, of course, the police here in Singapore. But you know one thing, when people don't realize, a little betting goes a long, long way. A little bit more. And that's why people get trapped. It's the same thing with smoking. And people try until they get hooked on nicotine. Same thing with drinking. Drink a little bit until they get hooked on it. Same thing with coffee drinking, tea drinking. Sometimes we get so addicted to so many things. You see. Computer, the same thing. Gaming, surfing, whatever. You get so involved in it. Even our career, we can get so involved in it. Until we forget about God. Until the love of God is no longer there. People can say, okay, I'm going to do what I want to do and make money. So even if they take times away from the person, from fellowshipping. And slowly, slowly, by and by, that's how you die out. If you have this kind of a desire, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, then God is not in you. And the world passed away, the last thereof will go. But here do the will of God abide forever. What is do the will of God? Same thing, hold to the word. Obey the word, fulfill the word, honor the father. Huh? The Bible says if you honor your father and obey them, oh, it says, may your life be long on this earth. So what more about us as Christians? God is looking at our faith. Can you hold on to your faith? Can you hold on to that? If we don't control our senses, then something's going to go wrong. Now, when Abraham was promised a son, let's go back to where we have early on in Romans, chapter 4. We don't have to go to Genesis there, but this is just what we want to stay on. Let's read from verse 16 there. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. To all the seed. Not just Abraham. Not just the promise to Abraham. Not just to his seed, but to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, not just also for Israel, but also that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, God called those things which be not as though they were. Okay now, every one of us here. Now I pray that you are all born again. I pray that those who are born again can understand what I'm saying. But I want you to see. Those things that have not yet, God promised us, the things that have not yet exist, God considered them already done. And that's the assurance of it. Huh? Now, Sister Aggie, she had affliction. Sister Party. Huh? My wife, Sister Lucy, Sister Nancy, my grand aunt, we have all these different problems that we are facing, that we have. But you know one thing? Those things that we look at, they're only temporary. They're going to pass away. Because God has promised us a better body. And God had it reserved in heaven for us. And if you have and catch the revelation that it has been reserved in heaven for us, so we don't have to worry. Abraham was promised a son, and he considered all that he's the father of many nations already. Is that what the Bible said that? Who against, in verse 18, who against hope, believe in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be, and being not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead. You see what I mean? Abraham was promised a son, and he went around telling everybody, hey, God says, I'm the father, going to be a father of many nations. I'm going to... So he make a confession. There are many Christians that wonder what I'm going to make in heaven. I'm going to make it in the rapture. If you say, I wonder if I make the rapture. When you think like this, hey, you better catch a revelation. Huh? Because if you have the revelation, you hold it fast. Abraham said, I don't know whether I'm going to get a son or not. My wife's now, the womb is dried up. The ovaries are dried up. I'm not going to get a son. How is it possible? But you know, Abraham, when God said so, even though the wife was dead, he had the revelation. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, he promised it, he said it, I believe it. That settles it. He caught the revelation, and God said so, because those things that were not as though they were finished. And that's why Abraham can go and confess it, even though there was no evidence that he had it by the natural eye. His wife, Sarah, probably just think that he's a crazy old man. Maybe his servants were wondering, wow, what is this? The one, Sarah is already dead in the womb. You know, the woman is dead, dried up. And he believes that he's going to be a father of many nations. Because why? Abraham wants to be. He wants to be. So, who against hope? Believe in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Hope against hope that he might become the father of our nation. He believed it. God said so, he believed it. Those things that we have not seen it, and God promised it, you can be sure it will come to pass. Hallelujah. Hard to believe, isn't it? Hey, I've been asked many questions. Hey, Richard, you think that you people who believe in this end time message are the only one to make the rapture? Huh? And not in a denomination? I told a brother, I said, look, I don't believe that everybody in this end time message are really in the message, are really in the truth. So not all are going to go up. As for the denomination, God has said goodbye to that already. He has left. He has taken his name away from that. He has left those places. And all the name up there, what is it? Mystery Babylon. If they have recognized the word of God, they would have come back to the Word. And for those in the truth, for those who have seen the purpose of God, for those who have seen the work of God done in this hour, who have recognized the Word of God being revealed in us in this hour, they are the ones that are going to make the rapture. So it's not a matter of whether you are in the message. It's just a big, very victim. Isn't it? Huh? If you are a Christian, born again, and if you know the Word of God, then come out of her, my people. Come to the Word of God. Do you recognize God's purpose and God's work for this end time? Do you know what God is doing? Of course, if you don't know, then you will stay in a system and think that's all there is to it. And those who believe in the end time message and think all the problems said, that's all that is to it. You know what God is doing? You know what God is doing? God is building. Not only a building, but a city. Is that right? A city. The foundation already been laid. That's why. The foundation has already been laid. And do you recognize who you are? If you have recognized the purpose of God, then you can be sure that you have a purpose in God's life for you. Let us go to the book of Ephesians. I will close with this. In Ephesians. Now, God's expression. Three things, the way that God expressed Himself. He expressed Himself. We know when we see the creation of the world, it declares God. It shows forth God's glory. Yeah? But those are inanimate objects. That's the creation. So trees, even those animals, or those are living things, but that is not a personal revelations of God. So God expressed Himself, revealed Himself in Christ. Amen? Sure. Now Christ came and died, resurrected, ascended. Now He is expressing Himself in the bride. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. Yet of course, the disciples don't even know to show us the Father. They didn't know that by looking at Christ, we could see the Father. Because I guess the people are so religious, they don't know what to see. And what they are looking at. And some said to Jesus that the demon, it is what they call demon possessment or a blasphemer. Or is a prince of Beelzebub. Oh, just a false prophet, whatever. They call him all kinds of men, all manner of names. They don't recognize. But, now the Christ is in the bride. Sure, nobody in the world recognizes. Some will recognize. How do I recognize who you are? How do you recognize who I am? Huh? Jesus said, in that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. And it is all because of the Word, because of the Spirit of the life of the Father in Christ Jesus. It is because of the life of God in you, and the life of God in me, that we can identify because of the Word. Do you understand? If you ever talk to a charismatic, you know, automatically, but I'm just talking a few things, discuss with him about the Word, you can tell that he's a charismatic, even without him telling that he's a charismatic. Do you understand? It's the Spirit that manifests itself. So now, if Christ manifests a certain Spirit, He's manifesting the Spirit of God, isn't it? He's the love of God walking on 2 feet. He's the Word of God walking on 2 feet. Manifesting the truth. So now, we're the bride of Christ. God is manifesting Himself in us. The world may recognize or the world may not recognize. Depending on what they look at. But those that will see, now the disciple who saw Christ and recognized that was, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. On the way to Emmaus, those two disciples, now couldn't see Christ, who He was, but at the breaking of bread, automatically, all at once they saw, this is the Lord. Something about it. The way He speaks, the way He conducts Himself, the way He expresses Himself at the table. So the same with us. If we are the bride of Christ, God is expressing Himself to us, through us, in us, through us. Revealing Himself. So what manner of man and woman then? We are to be. Because one of these days, in the future, God is going to express Himself in Christ and in us, together. As the King and the Queen. But you know, how does this thing come about? In the book of Ephesians, just one verse here, in chapter 2. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. The mystery of God's purpose. God is doing a work. I've said this many times. You're not doing a work for God, you know. God is doing a work for you. That's our denomination. Let us do something for God. Let us do something for God. You cannot do anything for God until God does something for you. People wanted to do something for God and find themselves not knowing God. You understand? Hey, that's true, you know. We are God's workmanship. You know what I mean by workmanship? A design, something that God do. Huh? If you make something, that's my workmanship. You can see it there. I like that, you know. And then when you look at this, we are God's workmanship. We are His workmanship. God wanted a Savior to save mankind. So what did He do? He made the order. Huh? He made a body. He created a body. And put His word there. So He could become the Savior of the world. And God wants a bride. So what are you going to do? He made the order. When He made the order, He designed that this is the way it is, this is the measurement, and so forth. That's the way I want it. And He's going to get it. He's going to get it. You can be sure He's going to get it. Everything is made to order. Hey, Abraham, I promise you a son. And you shall be the father of many nations. Wow, I'm so glad. 75 years old, that's still a lot of hope. My wife, 65 years old, wow, still able to produce, still a lot of eggs in there. One year, 2 years, 3 years, Sarah getting older and older and older and older until finally menopause finished. Egg dried up. No more egg. Nothing. Right? Abraham says, so what? God said, so He will make one day. He will make to order. Sure, there's no more egg, right? So how did God do about it? See, God made to order. So He renewed the body of Abraham, renewed the body of Sarah. Hey, I like it, you know. Make everything new. That's make to order. So He's going to get a bride. He's going to get a bride. He's going to get a people. God wanted a people. He's going to get a people out of this world. That later on when He comes back with Christ Jesus, they were going to rule with Christ Jesus. In the age of the regeneration. He's going to get a people that give them a body. They will not die. That's why these are all His preeminence. God has purposed it. And He's working it out. He's the tailor. You're not tailoring things to according to what He likes. And you've got to fit. Perfect. 100% guarantee. Lifetime warranty. No flaw. You believe that there'll be no flaw? We have a lot of flaw here, so what? There's a lot of flaw in Abraham's body and Sarah's body, so what? I'm God. Is anything too hard for me? Is anything too difficult for me to perform? Believe it. Confess it. We are going to have it. Abraham says, ha. Dig in the womb. Sarah, so no problem. Sarah say, hey, oh man, my dear husband, I'm an old, like Cock Rider used to say, I'm nothing left. Why don't you just go and get Hagar? Abraham says, oh, so what's the problem? Old. My God is able. He said it. He will do it. despising it. When up there, and some of the servant men, the servant up there, you know, some of them, I don't know, maybe Eliezer. So my Lord, he said, true. Oh yes, Eliezer. And one of these days when my son is born, and he's got to my inheritance, you're going to buy a bride for him. Eliezer said, oh, bye. Really? You sure? And the people ask him, stranger ask him, he confess it. It's true. The fullness of the Word of God is going to take us into the rapture. The fullness of this revelation, because God has purposed it, and you can be sure it's going to come to pass. Exactly. Amen? And let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Oh, mystery of all mysteries, Lord. Things that thou have planned, purposed before the foundation of the world. To bring about the ultimate intention that you have, that we as the people, Lord, be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. But all that you have done, Father, as you express yourself in Christ Jesus, reveal yourself in Christ Jesus, you make all things to pass according to your good will, Lord, and your desire. You purpose it, therefore you make it to come to pass the way you have so desired. There is nothing, Lord, that could thwart your plan. There is nothing at all, Lord, that could stain or tin the very purpose of bringing something that you have already ordained and purposed to come to pass. Say the Lord may just hinder you, so to speak, Lord, for a little while. But that was for good reason, Lord. That the people that thou have ordained, they confessed thy word that you have spoken, the promise that you have made. When you make a promise, Lord, we know that you're going to fulfill it. No matter how things look to the human eye. You said it therefore, Father, as Abraham believed it, even when Sarah's womb was dead, he believed he was going to be a father of many nations. Oh, likewise to Father, that we will be like Abraham, who is the father of our faith, Lord, that we hold on to the same. Even it seems that right now, Lord, appears that there's deadness, Lord, in life, spiritually, somewhat. We're looking forward to a faith that will take us up. But even though we know that they need more faith in this time, considering the Lord, we have more thy word and the fullness of it all. Making known to us, Father, the revelation of yourself. And if we don't even have faith enough to be healed, consider it not dead at all, that we still got to hold on to this faith. Yes, Lord. Make us to realize to hold fast to the faith. And whatsoever you have said it, Lord, you will surely fulfill it. You have said those things, and we believe, and you have considered those things that were not as though they were, and thus it is, Lord. And we thank you, for thou hast said that we are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have given us that position. And let no man, let no spirit take away that position from us, Lord. As we confess it, Father, bless us all now. We thank you for thy holy word. In Jesus' name we praise you. And we ask for your blessing. Amen.